Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And it is time for the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment on Youth Sports Now. And we have joining us today on the Youth Sports Now hotline is Mike Naparella, live from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. Hey, Mike, I think we finally, after two shows, we got the answer that cheerleading is, in fact, a sport.
Greg, I agree totally. And I agree with the ladies today and the cheerleaders themselves. There's no doubt that when you look at the sort of demands that cheerleading brings with it, from all the ways they talked about, between the dance side of it, the cheerleading side of it, the stunting side of it, there's strength, there's certainly power, there's dynamic stability, and nowadays, you know, more than ever used to be before, cheerleaders as a team go and compete against each other as well. And so clearly cheerleaders are athletes, and clearly it's a sport. It may not be looked at in quite the same sport because they're not competing with each other week by week. You know, they're out there supporting their teams, but they still do enter competitions. And so I know a lot of people get up in arms about these sort of things, but I think it's silly. These girls are out there working hard. They're absolutely athletic. And, Greg, you know, the listeners should know as well that cheerleading is actually one of the highest injury rate sports. And so they're not only working really hard, their bodies do pay a price for this as well. I think sometimes we get caught up in seeing people jump up and down and cheer and see the rah-rah side of it and miss that there is really significant demand on the body. And there are some risks involved. Certainly cheerleading has some of the most, is the highest rate of catastrophic injuries in terms of spinal fractures and spinal cord injuries. So, and when you see girls getting tossed up in the air that high, and there's a lot of demand on the girls who are the bases at the bottom needing to catch that girl coming down, and a lot of confidence that that girl called the flyer who's in the air needs to have on her teammates. And so absolutely it's a sport, absolutely they're athletes.
Well, you know, Mike, I think we can we answered it, and hopefully the age-old debate is over, and we can say that we answered it here first on U Sports Now, because I agree with everything you said, and now after talking to these fine young ladies, it's truly a wonderful sport, and they work hard. Hey Mike, one of the we wanted to continue on with some of the questions that our listeners have provided, and listeners, first of all, you really wowed us this week with some good questions, and Mike, one of the first ones. You know, this is something you always hear people talk about, but nobody's ever really asked the question nor necessarily answered it. So I'm going to just fire away here. The question from our listener is, are orthopedic conditions, especially things like weak ankles and weak knees, are they hereditary? And, you know, this parent is saying that my grandfather was a weekend warrior and had weak ankles and knees. My dad has them. I have them. And now my 16-year-old seems to have them. So are they hereditary, and can they be prevented?
Well, you know, I guess, Greg, on the first side, the answer is it seems like there may be some extent of some genetic or hereditary component, but I'm not sure that I've seen any data that says that absolutely that's a significant factor. But you do look at parents who tend to be fairly athletic. Sometimes their kids seem to be more athletically developed. Other people who tend to not be quite as athletic in terms of being very strong and quick, and you know, they're very good at other things, but maybe physically they tend to be on a slighter build or tend to be a little bit more deconditioned or weaker. Sometimes their kids seem to be that way. But I think we've got to be very careful that, you know, the environment that they grow up in is part of that factor as well. It's difficult to tease those things out. In terms of, let's say that you're very into music and reading and computer things. Well, you're going to tend to, if your parents are like that and that's the sort of environment they provide their kids, those kids may not be as active physically, but they have very high aptitude in other very important areas of life in terms of, for example, music and in other areas, reading, whatever. Whereas other parents who tend to be very active may push their kids into physical activity early, and those kids will get stimulated physically at an earlier age or maybe more frequently or in greater variety. so their body may develop more. So I'm sure there's literature out there that has tested, for example, in studies of twins and looked at those sort of things to try and tease that out, but I'm not sure we can put numbers on it. I would say this, though. Certainly, I really like this question because the person's basically calling in saying, is it normal to feel this way, and do I need to leave it this way? Can't we do something about this? I don't like how I feel. And I think, Greg, there's lots of people out there who do feel that way. And whether it's genetic or not genetic isn't really the issue. I think the real underlying question is, should I feel this way? And is there anyone who can help me participate in life more? I'm not participating as much as I'd like. And in that regard, I'd say absolutely 100%. You know, I would suggest this person, you know, give us a call. Again, just for the contact information for the listeners out there who've called in before and want to know, how do they get a hold of us? Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is located in East Rochester. We're at 161 East Commercial Street. We're about literally a mile off of the exit on 490. And they can read more about us at www.peakptrochester.com. And our phone number is 585-218-0240. And so I'd encourage this person, if they're in this area, go ahead and give us a call. This is a great example, Greg, of someone who could come in on what's called that direct access opportunity that we have and that the citizens of New York State have, where you can come in and see a physical therapist without a prescription from a physician. And that physical therapist is in a position to be able to screen out, you know, more important medical conditions and send someone off to a specialist or back to their doctor if there's an underlying medical condition that looks to be going on, and it's not simply a musculoskeletal problem that needs to be addressed, or if we need to send them back to ask someone to get some films or something. But in a case like this, you know, this person's saying, look, I feel like I've got weak ankles. My question for them would be, what do you mean by weak ankles? Do you feel like your feet are collapsing in too far? Do you feel weak when you do certain activities? Are you unable to do certain activities? Do you fatigue out early when you try and do the things you want to do? Or do you literally feel unstable? Some people who say, hey, my ankles are weak, what they're really saying is I sprain my ankles a lot. When I go play and do things, my ankle will roll out on me and I literally twist it. And it's like it's an injury. And they feel weak, or someone's told them they have weak ankles. But actually, there's a number of things that are, I mean, this could be a really deep question. You know, this person could be someone who would benefit from foot orthotics. It could be someone who has certain tight muscles that just need to be stretched out. They could be someone who just, they've got some challenges in their balance, and some simple balance exercises would help them. They may need some strengthening drills. And the whole point here is to say, when someone feels like they've got, in this case, weak ankles, what do you do for that? Well, I'll tell you what you don't do. Don't go on the internet and start searching for things to do. Don't do generic things. There's people out in the community like us as physical therapists who are trained to be able to test you and identify what those causes are and help you with your own weak links so that you're not putting blood, sweat, and tears and valuable time and money into purchasing a DVD or buying some equipment or going to the gym and doing some sort of program that really doesn't address what your own needs are, but you thought it was, someone told you it was, a good series of ankle exercises. This person may not actually have weak ankles. They may actually have some problems up at their hip. They may have some problems up at their core that are actually the cause of why their ankles respond by appearing weak. So that's what you want to see someone who's a musculoskeletal expert and, you know, let us take a look at it and help identify exactly what you need. You know, there might be three things you need to do. But what if you went to some generic program and you're doing 10 things and none of them are addressing what you need? You're much better off with the three you need.
So, Mike, if I think, you know, as I listen to your response, which is, of course, all makes, you know, logical sense and a good reason to call Peak Performance. But let me ask you this. Is this something that you could do and your team at Peak Performance where, you know, if this is a 16-year-old athlete who seems to have this problem, maybe it's something that, you know, you could have the athlete and the mom or the dad, you know, and the grandmother, grandfather come in, and you could actually assess all of them to see if there is something that is wrong, or if it's, you know, as you say, where maybe it's a functionality type of issue.
Well, yeah, and absolutely. I think you bring up a good point. We are on youth sports now, and this show is particularly about youth sports. But as physical therapists at Peak Performance, we handle more than just young athletes, and we certainly handle middle-aged athletes, adults, senior citizens. And if someone like this who feels like not only is it their 16-year-old seems to have these problems, but they themselves and even their parent, so a grandparent, a parent, and a child all have similar issues, they all may need different things, and it may be very interesting to look at someone like that. And we do see that sometimes when a young athlete is in, their parent may say, yeah, I've got feet like that too, and we may take a quick peek at them and notice that their arches tend to collapse in that way, or they tend to have that sort of difficulty. Again, it may not literally be quote-unquote weakness in their ankles. The ankles may collapse or be floppy or not show good control. It may not be because of the foot ankle itself, but that's why we want to test somebody so that, if you really need a hip drill and you're doing a foot drill, that's sort of a waste of time. If you really need a foot drill and someone gave you a hip drill, or you need an exercise and someone put you in a brace, you're starting to do things that are not addressing the underlying problem. You're just kind of throwing darts at it, hoping one of them sticks. And that's why you want to see a musculoskeletal expert like us as physical therapists that is in a position to try to identify those unique factors that may be different for you with your weak ankles that are actually, oddly enough, different than your son or daughter or your father who has what appears to be the same thing but may not be.
Well, I think that, that's great advice and certainly something that our youth athletes can get into. But again, it talks to the bigger picture of physical therapy and the things that you can do. Mike, jumping around here for time's sake in terms of some other questions that our listeners have sent in. This is one that, may or may not necessarily be right up your alley. But again, as a physical therapist, somebody in the healthcare profession, as a parent, as a coach, we're going to fire away. One of our listeners asks, should young athletes take vitamins or supplements? And then they add, obviously, not the illegal kind. So what's your view on that? And how could that possibly affect the whole system when they're training or in competition?
Well, certainly with how TV commercials have changed and the internet age, there's so much more access to information, and that's a good thing, and it can be a bad thing because people go to school for 4 years and 6 years and 8 years and get bachelor's degrees and master's degrees and PhDs and are medical doctors to learn about the body like this. And, it's a challenge when lay people are in a position who have a real passion for and they love sports and they love being active and they want to be in shape, but we're inundated with just tons of information. And then the question is, is this information accurate? Is it misguided? Is someone just literally putting misinformation out there to sell me something and being disingenuous? Or is this really cutting-edge new information that's valuable? And if you don't have the ability to go back and read the studies and be able to digest them and interpret them and critique them, then you're not really necessarily in a position to know whether what they're selling you or what they're purporting is accurate or not. So I think that's a real difficulty. But with that said, I think we tend to, and we have talked about this a bit before, I think we tend to, as a society, sometimes go to these shortcuts. And isn't some of it maybe because of what we see on the TV every week? There's another athlete who was really successful who was caught doping, blood doping, steroids, human growth hormone, whatever. Those illegal things that this person alluded to, but it sort of speaks to that side of us that sort of wants to take the short circuit route. We don't want to take the long, arduous, difficult. Do I really have to eat my fruits and vegetables? Do I really have to make sure I'm eating the right kind of carbs at the right time? Do I really need to have protein? Can't I just take a pill? Can't I just drink a shake? Can't I just have the quick way out? And, it's understandable why we all get that way in many aspects of life, not just in athletics, but I think we've got to be careful that sometimes those shortcut ways, end up leading to less than ideal results. You can put the vitamins in the body, but we've got to remember that carrot that you ate does contain various vitamins. But you can't just replace the value of the carrot by eating the same amount of vitamins, whatever international units or milligrams or whatever were in that carrot. You don't just replace it by eating the same sort of vitamin. Because there are other, all sorts of other micronutrients that are in there that make that carrot a carrot. And enzymes and all sorts of things that are being discovered that are beneficial to us. And so I think the idea of, you know, taking a pill and thinking we can replace eating well, I've heard numbers of excellent sports nutritionists speak at the national level at various conferences. And although very many of them will talk about the value of taking supplements at certain times in certain situations for certain athletes, male or female, for specific reasons, they always start with making sure that you're eating a well-balanced diet and eating, you know, a variety of foods so that you're not just, you know, I don't eat chips all day, I don't just eat chicken, I don't eat just carrots. You know, whatever it may be, whether we think it's a healthy thing or an unhealthy thing, that we're getting variety of foods. One of the things I would encourage athletes to think about, and everyone out there listening, is to really optimize the amount of one ingredient foods that you eat. Think about that. One ingredient. How many things do we eat that have one ingredient in
it? Right, not too many things.
So many things now are processed, and there's more and more discussion in the nutrition world of the potential issues that all this processing of food, chemicals that process food, nutrients that are being removed. There's some things that I read recently that talked about even our soil and the changes in our soil, that the nutrients that are even in those one-ingredient foods, the nutrients that are in potatoes, the nutrients that are in broccoli, the nutrients that are in a green bean, are different now than 30, 40, 50 years ago, just because soil's changed. And so what we thought we were getting nutrient-wise is a bit less. And so we just want to make sure that we're eating a well-balanced diet and eating good foods and not just trying to replace it with a quick fix and missing those natural things that are part of what should be going in our body. So I think we need to be optimizing what ingredient foods, you know, probably minimizing processed foods. We tend to be a very high carb eating nation. We probably need to control that more. And just for athletes, so they know this, eating high carbs is certainly a good thing to do, particularly after you play and participate. So high carbs with some protein is one of the suggestions we can make for athletes that they do within 30 minutes, let's say, after a competition, in order to try and restore the glycogen and the energy supplies in their body. So that would be one hint from a nutrition side.
That's Mike. That's absolutely great information. We need to continue that. We're unfortunately out of time on this edition of U Sports Now and the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment. And when we come back, a final thought about some things that are happening with Richard Sherman and who knows, maybe even Richard Thomas.
Youth Sports Now on WISL.